Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever felt trapped? Sometime in your life you felt trapped. Trapped by circumstances, trapped by illness, trapped by people around you, or just the lot in life you have, you feel trapped. Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. I remember 6 months into my very first pastorate, I had plans to back a moving truck up and just leave in the middle of the night and not leave a forwarding address because I felt so trapped. Fortunately, I stuck it out. But there are times when we feel incredibly trapped. The psalmist felt that way in Psalm 4. He was trapped. And he was trapped by other people. Remember reading that psalm, he says that people are talking smack about him. Now that was thousands of years ago, and we haven't evolved that much, have we? There are people who still talk smack about us. And it was so bad that his reputation was being destroyed piece by piece by what people were saying. And so he sends his complaint to God. He's trapped by how people are speaking of him and ruining his reputation. And when he speaks to God, I love the way he says it. He said, God, you've given me room. You've given me space when I'm in distress. And as he speaks to God and pours out his complaint, he recognizes something, that the gossip may not stop, that he might be in the same situation after the prayer that he was before. But he echoes these beautiful words, I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O God, make me lie down in safety. Peace. He knows the peace of God in spite of what he's going through, even though he's trapped. You think of those early disciples and how trapped they were when they were in that locked room. They were trapped in grief. They had seen the person they loved brutally murdered. They also knew that they might be next. So they were trapped in fear. They were trapped in despair. And they were trapped in guilt. Because after all, when he needed them the most, all the disciples fled. They were so frightened for their own lives that they abandoned him, their master and their Lord, and the person that they said they were going to follow to journey's end. They abandoned him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when he was crucified, they watched, but from a safe distance. They were trapped in guilt. And then they heard some fantastic reports. There were Jesus sightings all over the place. And they heard from women, and of course, because they heard from women, that didn't count. They were idle tales. They heard from other people, and they just couldn't fathom what they were saying. Maybe they thought that this was mass hysteria, or that guilt run rampant, or people were seeing strange visions. And so they were all gathered together and chattering about this when Jesus himself comes in the midst of them. And what's the first thing he says? Peace. Because, of course, they're not used to seeing dead people in the middle of them. And they thought he was a ghost. And then he said, look at the scars. It's me. It's really me. And he spoke peace to them. Now, there's something interesting about this story. After the events, after Jesus appears, after he speaks to them, after they really understand that he's there, that he's real, that this is not a hoax, nothing changes for them. Think about that. They are still on the outskirts of society. They are still in poverty. They are still in danger. Nothing changed, but everything was different. Because they finally got it. And the peace of the risen Christ was so evident in their lives that they could not shake that. When you're trapped, what do we ask for? We ask for deliverance. When I've been trapped, I've asked that God would take care of me and get me out of whatever situation I was in. That's the normal thing people do, and it's not a bad thing. But in my experience, I have found that usually I'm not rescued. That day that I said I was going to leave after 6 months, I was at that church 6.5 years, and I'm still in the ministry today. Sometimes when we feel trapped, God says, stay where you are. When my grandparents came over to this country, they were trapped in poverty. They were trapped in illiteracy. They were trapped by the society that they lived in, who really did not want them. Kind of seems like today's immigration issues. And they had 11 children here. 3 of them died in childhood from diseases that we now routinely vaccinate for. They were trapped in grief. But one day, my grandmother walked into a mission. And when she walked into that mission, she was changed from the inside out. She described it as a warmth that came over her because she watched these other very poor Italian immigrants who were in this mission, who were loving each other, who were so gracious to each other. When they saw she had come in from the cold and she was soaking wet from the rain, somebody put a sweater around her and somebody sat with her, and these were complete strangers. And when that service was over, she was completely transformed. And yet she was still trapped. This was a woman who nowadays would have probably at least had a master's degree. She would have at least been in a profession. But in those days, all she could do was keep body and soul together and make sure that her 8 surviving children were taken care of. When she went home, she spoke to her husband, my grandfather. And in time, he too found the peace of Christ. By the time I was little and knew who my grandparents were, they were in the exact same house. They still could barely speak the language. They had not risen above a third grade education. And yet, when I walked in there as a little girl, the peace that was on that house was incredible. The joy that was in that house was beyond this world. And the influence that those two people had on their neighborhood was something of legend. They were called the evangelists. Now, they didn't go around with a theological treatise telling people you have to convert. What they did was share who they were and what they had in Christ Jesus, and that was peace. And that is something that Jesus asks us to do today, is to bring peace. There are people in this country who are tearing themselves apart in the cities. We have gun violence day and night, and we as the church need to speak peace. There are people in other lands that are tearing themselves apart, and we the church need to speak peace. But there's people here in this beautiful setting in paradise where we look out on trees and we look out on the lake and everything in nature is so peaceful, but in their homes and in their lives, they're in turmoil. And we, as the Church of Jesus, who's experienced peace in our own lives, need to speak peace in this community. When Jesus came and they were so frightened and trapped, he spoke peace. And through that peace,
Even though the next day they were still criminals, they were still in poverty, they blazed a trail that changed the entire world. When we're trapped, perhaps instead of asking for deliverance, we ask for peace, the peace of Christ that passes all understanding and that can give us every grace and all power to effect change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people we meet. Let us pray.
Far away in the depths of my spirit today rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial like tones it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. It's peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I am resting today in that wonderful peace, resting sweetly in Jesus' control. For I'm kept from all turmoil by day and by night, and his glory is flooding my soul. It's peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love.
Lord, I pray for that one who came to this service today, not in peace, thrown about by life circumstances. Lord, I pray by your Spirit alone that you would speak peace. In Jesus' name, amen.